friendship sweeter. Knowing you're near, it's so good to see you. I hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you.
Hello, listener, and welcome to another special edition of Mark and Friends. This is Dave Fitch, the Director of Development here at WAUJ and Great News Radio. And we are continuing a program today that we started previously, interviewing Zhenya Yezhvinsky from Ukraine. And he told us some incredible testimony about how he came to be a man of faith and to end up on the front lines of the war in Ukraine, an absolutely incredible testimony that is out on WLUJ.org and GreatNewsRadio.org under the Mark and Friends tab that you can listen to in case you didn't catch that. Today, we want to talk a little bit more to Zhenya, as well as his friend Patrick McKeon, who has done missions work around the world. But Zhenya, as we stopped yesterday, you were telling us about how God had directed you to go out on the front lines of this war, and you felt like God had his hand of protection on you and everything that you were doing. Tell us a little bit more about that, about how you felt like God was protecting you and the men that were in your company in the middle of the front lines of this war.
Hello, everyone, and thank you that you're still with us. Thank you that you listen about Ukraine and that you open your heart for Ukraine. At the beginning of war, when I just went to the war, God spoke to me and my wife through different verses from Bible. And one of them was when, if you remember, when Apostle Paul was on a ship and he had a dream. In this dream, angel say that, Paul, you have to be in Rome, so I will give you survive and I will give you all these people who are with you on this ship. And this word was for me like that God will save me and my platoon who is with me. And it's incredible story and very sad story that really all people from my platoon, they was alive till they will be with me in this platoon. And when they just leave our platoon, many of them was killed even in few hours after they left our platoon. And even when I was released, some people from my platoon was die. I just want to share one story about this place where we were. In this place was my first chapel that I organized. And we had headquarters there. And it was at the beginning of war when shelling was so tough. And it was 6 hours shelling. It was so intensive that time between first and second shelling, it was just 1 minute and sometime even less, and it was during 6 hours. So our house where we was on basement of this house under the land, but our house was destroyed and it was almost all exits how we can leave this house was destroyed. And we thought that it's last day in our life. I remember how I clean my faith from all dirty and make picture and send it to my wife and just write, I love you, because I thought that it could be my last message for her. And we stay, it was maybe 10 of us in very, not a lot of space. And I remember how this shelling was each minute, or sometimes it was more often. And all these soldiers, and I remember that it was so bad that I just asked my commander and say, can I just read some psalms from Bible and pray? And he say, oh, yes, it's a good time to do it. Let's pray. I read one psalm and then I pray. And at the finish of my praying, it was big shelling. And then we start count seconds between the shelling. We did it usually to it help us understand when it will be next shelling. And we start count it. And it was 1, 2, 3 seconds. Then it was 1 minute, 2 minutes, 3 minutes. And then one of them say, Zhenya, after your praying shelling was stopped. And commander say, now we have to make evacuation, and so we run 800 meters. We can't remind all this place after this shelling, but God just save us in this time. And it was very good testimony for all these my comrades. Even after I release this, my commander wrote me some message and remind the time and say that I will never forget how it was.
That is absolutely incredible testimony of the power of God and what impact that can have in protecting us, regardless of the situation that we're in. I hope I'm never in the situation that you just described, but sometimes we all have our own little battles and wars that we have to go through. And it's an incredible testimony to hear that you can be protected, your life can be saved, God can have a hand in the next minute of your life, regardless of what battle you're in. That's an incredible testimony. Zhenya, you mentioned yesterday that you are doing some work for Crew now. Tell us what you're doing with Crew. And for those who aren't familiar with Crew, you might be familiar with the name that they went by for years, Campus Crusade for Christ. Now they've simplified their name simply to Crew. Tell us what you are doing for Crew.
Thank you. Before war, I was missionary and in Crew, and we served students. Now I serve more with veterans. But Crew, it's very blessed organization. We have one goal. Crew has different branches of ministers, from students to veterans or teachers, but we have the same goal. Our goal is to win, to build and to send, to win people with the gospel, to build them as Christ followers, to install in these people this DNA of importance, to share in the gospel where they are and look it for their own disciples, and with this DNA to send them in the mission where they are. If they're students, they have to share the gospel and look it for their own disciples in university, if they work on the work. And now I do something like that with veterans after my release from the army. We share the gospel with them. We spoke. Now in Ukraine, it's more than 1.3 million veterans. Not soldiers, but veterans. And at the finish of war, these numbers, if include families, could reach 5-6 million of people in Ukraine. It will be 15% of population of Ukraine will be part of this community of veterans. And now we bring light of gospel to these people who walked through the darkness of war.
And as a missionary, like all missionaries, you need support, right? And I know I've supported missionaries through Crew before. And for anybody who's listening who might find your story impactful to their lives and they want to support you in your mission, they can do that by going to give.crew, that's CRU.org, that's give.cru.org, and then they can put in your missionary number or account number, which is 280-8226. That's 280-8226. And when you there's a big search bar right in the middle of the give.crew.org website, and you put that in, search on that number, and then Zhenya's name will pop up, and then there's a little button you can click that says give a gift, and that way you can support Zhenya in his missionary work. And hopefully we can have a number of people support you in the incredible work that you're doing to spread the good news throughout Ukraine and through the horrible situation that your country is going through.
Thank you very much. I want just to say that all this my story will be not if not people like you who supported me during this war time. And I'm very thankful to each who will support.
Now, we also have in studio today, we found out about you, Zhenya, through someone who you met over in Ukraine during the war. You met Patrick McKinn, who is from Princeton, Illinois. And Patrick, tell us how you met Zhenya.
I was in Ukraine setting up a business, basically, and expanding the business. But my cousin was in charge of the Church of Christ for Europe, and they asked me to go and evaluate a church in Dnipro, Ukraine, which was where Zhenya lived. And during that time period, I guess you could say during COVID lockdown, I got stuck in Ukraine. So I was working with an orphanage there as well. And as time went on, I became involved with this Church of Christ, and we were doing missionary work and training missionaries. And I started attending another church. We call it the Ark. And how do you say that again?
Kovchech.
Yeah.
It's evangelical church.
It's an evangelical church. And they were actually very bold about not shutting down during COVID. They made a mock-up of a parking lot, and everybody would park in the back, and they still attended church. And it was interesting because they asked me to start a program or to work with a program called America Week. And what they would do is they would go into different universities and they would try to teach the American form of English. And they'd start out and it would be a five-day program. And the first 4 days, they focused in on emotional aspects of human traits, you know, like trusting your best friend or would you believe everything your father told you. And as they slowly go through the week, they're only allowed to preach the gospel or theology 20% of the time on public property. So they would, on Friday, we would get to unleash the gospel message. It was a very emotional time. And I think out of the class, two became full-time missionaries.
Now, after a while, it's very difficult to remind for me how it was at the time. But it was very blessed time. We served many students to know about Christ. And then our goal was not just organize this American Week, but it was platform for invite then all these people for three personal meetings mm-hmm. where we share the gospel with them three times in different ways. So they listen about God during this American Week, and then we meet with each of them three times in personal conversation. And without people like Patrick and other Americans who help us organize this English club, it will be very difficult to organize it. We're very thankful.
Do very many people in Ukraine know about Christianity?
People think that they know, but sometimes, no, I think that some kids in US know more about Christ than some people in Ukraine. It depends who is.
I noticed it with quite a bit of them, the basic Bible stories that we would teach a five-year-old, Noah's Ark, mm-hmm. David and Goliath, they don't have knowledge of this. They do have knowledge of, like, the polar bear day. And we mentioned this, Dave, that on January 7th, I believe it is, they cut a hole in the ice. You'll see it on TV. We call it the polar bear jump. They jump in the ice, and your sins are forgiven for that year. So it's a little interesting. That would be one of the traits. But they also, for the way that we have the freedom to go around in America and say Jesus loves you. They don't really do that. They'll think you're crazy if you go up to somebody.
Yes.
and they'll, it's very different. So you have to subtly discuss this topic. You have to remember, and Zhenya told me, and I never thought about this, but most of the people in Ukraine, like Zhenya's parents, my parents, they were raised in Soviet Russia, and they were not allowed to talk like this. They would go to prison like his grandfather.
Mm-hmm.
And they, and in turn, it's kind of a very not talked about subject. I mean, they still have this mindset of government will take care of everything. And fortunately, that's changing, thanks to people like Zhenya, and thanks to the gospel message getting out there. But it's still cold, and there's need for more work. And the one thing that I'd like to emphasize is now you have 17 million to 20 million refugees throughout Europe.
Yes.
And in like Zhenya lives in Hungary now, and many of my friends, including some from our missions group, moved over to Lithuania or other countries. But Europe as a whole, Christianity is collapsing. And my cousin used to say they can't board up the churches quick enough in Europe. So you're getting people that are coming from a war-torn country, going to countries they don't even know the language. If you can imagine this, now you have your husbands fighting in the war, your family's fighting in the war, you're in Bulgaria or Romania, some country you can't even speak the language, and they don't really get any support or any type of gospel message. So it's kind of going from one hopeless scenario to the other. And that's why missions like what Jen is doing is so critical. It really, really is.
It obviously takes a lot of time and a lot of people to spread the good news over there. Patrick, you told me a story about you having a heart attack.
Yes.
And actually dying for 8 seconds. That's a fascinating story. Share that with our listeners.
Yeah, just this last June, June 20th, I had a condition in my spine where I needed a steroid injection. And this injection went bad. And it turned out that it gave me a heart attack. I had open heart surgery on June 20th, and I passed away for 8.5 seconds. And during this 8.5 seconds, I did have a out-of-body experience. I saw myself in the operating room. I saw the top of the hospital in Peoria. I saw the earth. And then I spoke to God, and I said, I still have work to do, and I have my son Daniel. And he says, it's not your time. Go back. And instantly I was back in the operating room, and I could see the table. I woke up. The surgeon came to me and afterwards, and he says, what did you see, or did you have an experience? And I said, I think I did, but I wasn't sure if it was just a dream or something from the anesthesiologist or anesthesia. And he says, it's weird because I've been doing this 17 years, and whenever anybody flatlines, they have an experience. So after I thought about it, I said, this wasn't a dream. And I went back to him, and we talked about it. And just to let people know a little bit more verification that there's more coming after this, and that's part of my testimony.
It's interesting that the surgeon, who typically is a very science-oriented and practical person, would say nearly everybody that flatlines comes back with an experience and a story.
In the morning that he was operating on me, Dave, he went ahead and he came to me and asked me, he goes, are you a man of prayer? And I said, all I am is a prayer and a vapor. He put his head on my chest, and he says, I needed to hear that, and he prayed over me. And I actually feel blessed that that happened the way it did, because I have affirmation of the true work that we all have been doing, and it's real. And I really wish, I actually want to go back to him and say, you need to go on the talk show, because people need to hear that this isn't a joke. This is real. And that's why I think we're all here today, just to get that message out there.
Absolutely. Now, you've traveled a number of places throughout the world, and as you've traveled for your work, you've shared the gospel with
Yes.
people. Why do you do that, and what have your results been?
Well, I feel blessed that I had the opportunity to travel. I was working as a steel-making engineer and fixing steel mills. And my father did the same work. And then from 74 to 76, we lived in China. We went to school that was set up by Mormon missionaries. Now, they only taught us from the King James Bible, but they really did a good job. And this is the time when Mao would execute you for this. But they had very deep faith, and they didn't care. And Mao never did do anything to him, because the Americans that were there working were helping his country. So he kind of look the other way. And in turn, later on in my life, I speak Chinese, and I started working with a program called Angels of the Night, where we would give out Chinese Bibles, not part of the Communist Catholic Church, CCC. When you hear about Christianity growing in China, it's the government-ran church. And this group, we would hand out Bibles and little muffins and hopefully spread the good news that way. And in South Africa and in Africa as well, I went around. But really, the majority of my favorite missions work was probably in Ukraine prior to this war, because I think that was really needed at that time. And even to top it off, Jenna met my son, Daniel, he was 1 week old. He went to war, and I went back to North Carolina, got my sailboat, sailed across the ocean, got my son and my wife, and we sailed around for 8 months in the Caribbean until her visa was ready.
That's a whole nother story.
That's another story.
We'd love to get into, but our time is running short here. So as we close up, Patrick, what would you say to anyone who's maybe feeling the tug of the Lord to do some missions work, either as a full-time missionary, as Zenya is, or maybe just as their work allows them to travel around the world and they just feel compelled to tell everybody what they have seen and heard? What would you encourage them?
I would encourage everybody to share the gospel message. And my little son, he will go up to everybody that he sees in Walmart, and he'll go up to everybody he sees in a restaurant, and he'll say, Jesus loves you. He's very consistent about that. And you would be amazed at the reactions you'll get from people when they hear that. The tears of joy. I've had people sit down and just start crying. You don't know how much I needed to hear that. We are so hungry and in such need to hear the gospel message and to know about the love of Jesus Christ. People need to hear it, and we are so distracted by our daily life here in America. And Jenna and myself were discussing on the way here, what's an easier war to fight? One where you can see the casualties, or one that's around us that we don't even know about or pay attention to?
Mm-hmm.
And it's probably the one that we're fighting here.
You have both seen firsthand that there is a spiritual battle going on. You can't get away from that anywhere in the world, can you?
No.
That is going on in every country we could go to.
But at least in the physical war, you know who your enemy is. In the spiritual war, Dave, you just don't know.
Well, this has been quite a blessing to talk to both of you today. Thank you for sharing your heart, sharing your testimony, sharing these stories. We pray that these stories have impacted our listeners and have caused you to think about your faith and where your relationship is with God and where it could be in the future. If you would share this with your friends, tell them about this program. Tell them that they can go to either WLUJ.org or GreatNewsRadio.org and click on the Mark and Friends tab, and they can listen to these stories again anytime. Share this with your friends, and hopefully it has an impact on everyone's life, as I know it has on mine. Thank you very much again for coming into our studio and sharing your testimonies. God bless you both.
Thank you, friends. May God bless you.